Advocates for physician-assisted suicide are trying a new tack as supporters in Albany predict an uncertain legislative path for the latest bill. As WNYC's Marella Ivorak reports, a group of patients and doctors have filed a lawsuit to force the issue in the courts.
Steve Goldenberg takes 25 medications every day.
There's 3 AIDS drugs I take. There's 2 protease inhibitors and an antiviral.
He's 55 and speaking through a tracheal tube because he has larynx cancer. The disease dealt a devastating blow to Goldenberg's body, already shattered by AIDS-related illnesses.
My right foot. Half of it has been amputated. I also have coronary heart disease. And I have artery disease.
Goldenberg is terminally ill, and he wants to die.
I asked my doctor about how I can end my life, because I'm just lingering.
He asked me if I could help him, and I said, not really.
That's Goldenberg's doctor, Howard Grossman. Under state law, he could be charged with manslaughter in the second degree.
You can lose your license. You can lose everything. It's a very scary proposition.
So Goldenberg, Grossman, and a group of other patients and doctors filed suit last month, arguing that authorities should not apply the assisted suicide law to doctors. The Attorney General's office declined to comment on the case. Catherine Tucker, the lawyer who filed the suit, calls the practice aid in dying and death with dignity. She says it's in the same category as asking a doctor to remove life support systems, such as a ventilator.
We are treating similar populations of patients very differently without a reason to do so.
Tucker is based in California, and she also filed a suit there last month. She's worked on these issues for 20 years, and she's had success with similar suits in Montana and New Mexico, where doctors now can prescribe lethal doses of medications. In all, 5 states have some form of assisted suicide for terminally ill patients, either through legislation or lawsuits. Tucker says she filed the suit in New York because lawmakers are moving too slowly. The Catholic Church says they oppose the suit and may file a brief. But the church has less influence over the law than they do in politics.
It will certainly be a faster process than the one through the legislature.
Bills have been introduced in the State Assembly and the Senate this year, as they have been before. Diane Savino is a co-sponsor of the Senate bill.
I don't believe this is going to be a simple bill to pass. I think it's going to take a couple of years to get it done.
Savino's bill is modeled on the one in Oregon, which was first in the nation in 1997. Since then, Washington and Vermont have passed similar laws. The practice is heavily regulated and available only to mentally competent patients who will die within 6 months.
That's a very restrictive requirement, judged by 2 physicians.
Dr. Art Kaplan is director of the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU Langone Medical Center.
And that cuts down on people who say, I don't want to live because I have psychiatric problems.
That's what happened with Jack Kevorkian, who helped dozens of people die in the 1990s. Some were mentally ill, not terminally ill, and eventually he went to jail. Kaplan says he hasn't seen those kinds of cases under current laws.
So it's the Oregon safeguards, the Washington State safeguards, that I think have kept the practice limited.
Over 18 years, 860 patients in Oregon have used a lethal dose of barbiturates to die. Dr. Daniel Solmacy, professor of medicine and ethics at the University of Chicago, says the number might be small, but it's still bad ethics.
Fundamental basis of medicine is that every patient is a somebody, and that for the physician to act with the specific intention of making a patient dead is to endorse the view that it's okay to make a somebody into a nobody.
Steve Goldenberg says he's a somebody who can't choose to die peacefully. If the law doesn't change, he says he might go to Vermont. For WNYC, I'm Marella Ivorak.